was asked by someone to explain in Chassidus, you know, what does it mean that we're close to a tzaddik, like in Chabad on Breslov? How does that, you know, affect us, and which way does it affect us? So I'm going to try to say a Torah over the Kutta Maran, which is one of the things is that it's also very, besides it's so deep, has many Kabbalistic thoughts, so I'm going to try to simplify it so we should understand it. He says, he starts the Torah and he explains, seeing, this is Torah Ayin Beis in the second part, Lekita Tanyona Ayin Beis. He says, the Nachman says that to see yourself with a tzaddik is a great thing. And it's even greater if you hear Torah from a tzaddik, but even if you don't hear, just seeing is a great thing. Now, I'll explain exactly what he means, but let me explain what it says. You know, every person is obligated to use his mind as much as he can, which is called Moichen de Gadlus in Kabbalah, which is, means you should be able to expand your horizon, use your mind, have a deeper understanding, understand yourself, understand life, and mainly try to understand a drops what Hashem is all about. As I mentioned before, one of the main things we're here in this world is to have a relationship with Hashem. And that relationship with Hashem brings us a certain understanding which we cannot give over to another person. And not only to another person, sometimes we cannot repeat it to our own self what we understood a time before. Sometimes you have an insight of Hashem that a few weeks ago, even now you can't even replay it in the depths of it. But he says, when a person sees himself as a tzaddik, his ma'oirer arouses his mind to work. And if that, he's zoiche to godless, to greatness. And Nachman says, the greatest thing of greatness is humble. The greatest thing that Moshe Rabbeinu was praised, not that he was holy, not that he was, he was in love with Hashem, he feared Hashem. When the Torah says about the great thing about Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the most humble person on earth. Isn't that amazing? Even when I say it now, it always amazes me. It doesn't say that he was a holy, holy person. You ask a guy, why is your Rebbe such? My Rebbe is from the holiest people around. That's not what the Torah says about Moshe Rabbeinu. He could have said he's the holiest. I mean, he got the Torah straight from Hashem. He didn't eat 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, who could not eat 40 days and 40 nights? Not once 40 days, three times 40 days. The Torah says that's nothing. You know what great Moshe Rabbeinu was? He was incredible humble. Because greatness is when a person is humble. This is very, very important. Because the truth is that the closer you get to Hashem, the more humble you are. Because humbleness really comes recognizing the greatness of Hashem. In a very simple way, you know, if you stand under the Empire State Building or you stand on top, you look down, we don't even look like roaches. And this is just, not so tall, 1,000 feet tall, that's a joke. It's a joke. And we're invisible. You know, if you look from the moon towards Earth, we are invisible. But this is just, in reality, we are really, really nothing. But part of the way we are made and created and the Itzahara, all this, we think we're something. We don't like to admit to ourselves that literally in a second we could be gone. How vulnerable we are. Because otherwise, it's, you know, this brings a person to great humbleness. So the greatness of a person is humbleness. As Nachman says a very, very profound thing. He says, in the next world is Ein Sof. See, this world, to explain something, this world, everything is limited. That means, even though the earth is limited, the solar system is limited, and even, there's proof already about this, I'm not going to physics now, as the world and the universe is also limited. Everything in this world is limited. So we cannot understand unlimited things. We can't wrap around our mind and say something is unlimited, because we live in a very limited life. How long we can live is limited, how big earth is limited. So the only way we can enjoy Olam Haba in the next world to come, Rav Nachman explains, is humbleness. The humbleness of a person is like unlimited. Because if you're humble, the greater your humbleness, you don't take any room. It represents an unlimited item. Because the humbleness, you feel I'm nothing. And I'm nothing is, Olam Haba is unlimited. So if you're very humble, so that's why what Rav Nachman says, a really big Zach, he says, Tchiyas HaMeisim is going to wake, when the dead get up, you know what gets up? The humbleness of a person is the one that gets up. And you know, when a more humble a person is, the more he enjoys life. Opposite than we think. We think, if I win the lottery, I walk around with a head taller. If I am rich, I'm going to really feel life. And the truth is the other way. The more humble you are, the more, that's why the Gemara says, "Kolam aniges a Shabbos." A person makes Shabbos enjoyable is like chaim. It's life that he gets. Toimei chaim zuchi. Shabbos me'el olam haba. So if you enjoy Shabbos, you enjoy life. I mention this often. Many people live, but you just like a horse lives, we live, and a child lives. But you can imagine the life of a person close with a relationship with Hashem is a whole different life than a person who's just busy with mundane things. It's a whole different level. Like a person who's alert, or a person who's not alert. Because that alertness comes the more humble you are, the more honored you are, the more life you feel, and that's going to be Tchias HaMeisim. And the Torah lady explains that Moshe Rabbeinu tied himself to every soul. You hear this? Every one of us over here has connection to Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a piece of Moshe Rabbeinu, sort of his spirit is with us. And when we humble, we wake up. The more humble you are, you get in touch with the light of Moshe Rabbeinu that's in us. And Rav Nachman says that really is what tshuva is all about. The more humble you are, the more tshuva you do, the more you enjoy life, and the more chan you have. Why is this? Because, it's very simple. I think I mentioned this once before. If a person steps on your toe, okay, you say, I'm sorry, it's understandable. If you step on someone's toe and you thought it was just a simple guy, you say, I'm sorry, and that's okay. What happens, turns out he's a congressman. Well, what happens to the president? You might not like him, but you're still going to feel terrible. No matter what, you're going to feel, what? It was his toe. Oh, I feel terrible. Hello? If it was someone else's toe? It's the president's toe that I stepped by mistake. You start realizing, the more you realize who Hashem is, that apology was nothing. But it's very hard for us to realize Hashem unless the more humble you become, the more you realize who Hashem is. Our haughtiness, our arrogance doesn't let us see what Hashem is. And the more you work on yourself to get shed this on, the more you are able to get closer to Hashem, feel Hashem, and to be humble. So Rav Nachman says, when a person is close to a tzaddik, that the koyach of the tzaddik sort of looks at him and helps his mind to work. And the main thing is mind to work is to get to know his humbleness. You know, ki chachma techaya es baleyu. Wisdom gives life to the owner. And in the Zohar it says, the life of any cell is the wisdom that Hashem put into the cell. And everything in this world is incredible amount of wisdom. Ever thought about it? There's such wisdom in this world, we could live a billion years and not get everything. Isn't that amazing? Just how our body works, how our eye works, how reproduction works, how our emotion works. I mean, it's the wisdom that's there, that's the life. But isn't it amazing that we could think about it and amazes us? But all day long, we don't walk around amazing. All day long, we walk around thinking that I deserve everything.
And if we were humble, that would be the attribute that would most bring out the appreciation. For that wisdom.
Exactly. You'll be able to see the wisdom of him. The truth is, you take time for yourself, you think about the wisdom of Hashem in this world, is mind-boggling. It really is. I mean, it's awesome. But no one thinks about the wisdom of Hashem. We're so busy eating, sleeping, taking care of, working, and our Hashem is forgotten. Sometimes I wonder how people cannot believe there's such wisdom, it just doesn't make sense. The common sense screams at some this created wisdom of this. None of us fall off the globe. What's holding us? What is gravity? Go explain what gravity is all about. So, you know, we could talk hours of the wisdom of Hashem, but the trick is, the closer you're to the tzaddik, the more a person, his mind works much clearer, could slowly have perception about Hashem, and the more perception, the more you feel closer to Hashem. See, why this is so powerful? Because when we walk around every day, we think we came to this world just to sustain ourselves. If you really think about it, imagine someone should come up, I created a car. You know what the car could do? It could go to the gas station, fill up and go home. Go to the gas station. I mean, that's what we're doing. Filling up our tanks. We drink and eat, sleep, just to take care of this body, this clay. And again, we sleep this, I mean, our needs are there and we want. And we forget our Creator. It's your Creator. That's the challenge. That's why we need time to think. And to think about how the Rebbe Shlom. So Nachman says, if you're close to Tzaddikim, and you go to Brest or go to Uman, whichever Chassidus, you literally take the light of the Rebbe into yourself. That should be to arouse your mind. Start thinking, wow, great Hashem is. You know, just it's very hard to describe it. It's a feeling. But you just think, do you ever think how your eyes work? How you interpret things? How you hear? How you respond? I have a relative who was dyslexic. You know, we don't even appreciate that we're not dyslexic. You know what I mean? Like, something is wrong, I'm not sure, I don't know how these things, something is wrong, so they see everything backwards. See the numbers backwards. So 125 could be 521. Well, it's not always works the same way. And anyway, I'm not going to this. It is just thinking how much wisdom there is and how much one microscopic cell, the reproductive system works, and that gets reproductive. In that cell is the whole genetic thing. How tall the person, how short, and the whole gene goes on. It is mind-boggling. But we never take time to think about this. So Rav Nachman says, the more you let the light of tzaddikim come into you, the more your mind works, the humbler you are, the more you feel life, and the more you have a busha, it's a holy, I don't want to call it embarrassment, Another word in English means you are ashamed of Hashem. You think about, wow, this is my God. Shine, which is a humbleness. Not bashful, that's the right word, bashful. A healthy bashfulness. And you do more tshuva because you realize, wow. And we should realize, we do nothing for our existence. It's very humbling to think about it. All we do is fill up our tank. So we eat healthy food, but you could fill your tank up to tomorrow. If your stomach doesn't work correctly, and this doesn't work correctly, we're in trouble. It's like, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam literally wants you to live, you live. How long? We don't even have an idea. None of us absolutely know how long we're going to live. So, Rahman explains even more that the entire Beis HaMikdash was built that the Shruas HaShchinah should be here. That the Shchinah means the closest, we should feel close to Hashem. He says when a person uses his mind to meditate, to get closer to Hashem, to think about Hashem, you're expanding your horizon. The more you expand the horizon, that's called Binyan Beis HaMikdash. You're building the Beis HaMikdash. Very profound thing. Because the Beis HaMikdash was, we should be close to Hashem. That was the only reason the Beis HaMikdash was there. And Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he says, you don't want to be with me, I'm not going to be with you. Lahavdil, a relationship. You know, one partner says, I don't want to be with you. You know what, I'm not going. But the whole Beis HaMikdash was for one thing. We should be able to get close to Hashem. And if you take time to think about, to meditate, you literally take, you look up in the world and you say, wow!
If someone comes from a not from background, and yet they understand this feeling of humility and they can relate to Hashem so well through that one avenue, but they're short on other halachic things, how I mean, you look at that and you say this value of just this humility is so good that it's...
I explained this once and I will explain it again. I explained that in a relationship between a husband and a wife, there's two parts to the relationship. The husband has to do his job, the lady has to do her job. He has to make the panasa, to bring a living in, and she's got to run the household, to raise the children. You know, once upon a time used to be that way, clear. Okay? Now, imagine if the husband, you know, the husband is very poetic to his wife, plays music all day long, and she says, you don't do what a husband needs to do. It's nice all day long. She says, what's wrong with you? I'm singing love songs all day for you. You could sing love songs all day. She wants to take a pot and bang him over the head. Get yourself a job. It needs both. We need to be in love with Hashem and think about Hashem, be obsessed with Hashem. But we must do the things that He told us to do. That makes the relationship. And that is the danger. That many people feel like, you know, very happy with Hashem and think about Hashem. Yeah, I don't have to do all the details. Become very, which is, that's what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, that you should love Hashem. But remember, you have to have Yerushalayim, you have to do all the details. And if you do all the details, it's like a robot. You know, we have a checklist. It's like a husband does everything, but he's so removed. And he doesn't say some kind, you know, loving words. So what I'm trying to explain today, really, which the Kriyach Tzaddikim have, they could shine into you and make your mind expand and think and understand. Because potentially every person has great potential in his mind. You know, I once read many years ago, I've never researched this when I was young, we use very little of our brain. Very little. Very little. Scientists are a little bit baffled why we use so little. But if we could expand our mind and look at Hashem and study, what we're doing here and enjoy the day. So this is the tzaddikim look at you, and it's called the snotzitzes hamoichem. Your mind starts to work and think and understand. That's called binyan beis hamikdash. The more you think, the you're building a beis hamikdash. So you have to remember, most of us, believe it or not, don't think. We get fed with information. You know that most people, I always say this, that Jewish people generally don't try to think for themselves. I asked once a big famous doctor, I had to go once, and in the office, waiting for a different ethnic group. He's a specialist in Cedar Sinai. And I asked him, which ethnic group gives you the hardest time? Jew, but he says, the Orthodox Jews. So I asked him, why the Orthodox Jews? He says, they always have, maybe you're wrong, maybe I should ask another opinion. He says, other people, I say, it's like, whatever I say, it's holy, it's accepted. Yeah. But when an Orthodox Jew says, are you sure? You know what I mean? We are trained to challenge everything. We learn Gemara, we challenge. But the truth is, that most people don't think. Most people do not think. Most people are busy with a soccer game. You won or lost. That's it. That's important for them. You know, they're not thinking, what am I doing with my life? Is this good what I'm doing? Can I change? What can I do with my life right now? Most people, I'm set in this way. Okay, I hope things are going to fall into my lap. You know, the thinking is the Torah wants us to think. The koyach close to a tzaddik arouses in your mind the power of thinking. You have to do it yourself too, but that helps you. Being close to the tzaddik, Rav Nachman says, he looks sort of his light shines into you, and you have the koyach then to arouse in yourself to think, what in the world am I doing here? How great is Hashem? You know, the greatness of Hashem is really frightening. The other day, sometimes during my very tired, so I want to look up the numbers, how many stars there is, what scientists say. So if the Milky Way has 4 billion stars, there's 4 billion how is it called in English again? Galaxies. That means for each star in the Milky Way, there's another, that means it's 4 billion times galaxies. So I don't know, you know, if you know math, it's just an incredible amount of math. This is what we see. This is a conservative already opinion. Hashem is, you know, we can't even wrap our mind about this. We can't, even what's going on in this world, we can't wrap our mind. And this, we're not in charge. Hashem made my lungs and He made the ear. He made my body and stomach and He gave me food how to digest it. I didn't choose what type of a stomach I should have. None of us chose how tall you are, how short you are, what color eyes you are. We chose nothing.
Yes,
that's a very, very, very good question. The reason is because humans have a hard time focusing on many different things. So we attribute, if he's so big, he's going to be busy with us. It's because our mind works that way. Our mind works, if I have to be busy with a classroom of 32 people over here, I can't have my mind on another class behind me or something. Because we are limited in our focusing. But Hashem is unlimited. And by Him, yes, so, but by Hashem, there's no focusing. No, by Hashem, there is no focusing. He created this way. He is endless.
He's infinite. We're finite.
We're finite.
And the very point that you're making is actually exactly what
the finite.
Difference is.
Right. The finite and the infinite. Because he is infinite, so he's above everything. We are finite, so we can't imagine watching so many things. Because we are very finite. We are limited what we could do. When something is infinite, he could watch infinite things. No, it's beyond our perception. We don't know what Hashem is. But whatever it is, it's mind-boggling. See, most people don't realize that the closest star to us is about 4.3 light years away. To get there, if you send up a spaceship 25,000 miles an hour, you'll get there in 80,000 years. Did you hear what I said? 80,000 years. Our neighbor. So if he goes 30,000 miles an hour, that means 25,000 miles, means you could go around the globe in 1 hour. That'll take 60,000 years to get there. That means if the speed of light gets there, it takes, I say hello, and if my hello will travel the speed of light, in 4 years it's going to get there. The world could change in 4 years. Hello, who's calling? It is mind-boggling. And this is nothing to just the wisdom of Hashem. But most people don't walk around thinking this way. Because our mind is asleep. Most people don't think that, what am I doing with my life in this world? I say this to young people, if they would, think about it, many things would change. But the tzaddikim have a koyach to arouse your thoughts, to bring it out, to make you think to your potential. And Nachman says a very profound thing. Not only to have a koyach to bring out your thoughts the way you think, he explains that he also gives you the power to write, to understand the Torah on your level. And even say Chedusha Torah, new thoughts the way you understand it, if you're close to the tzaddikim.
Is it correct then in saying that being close to a tzaddikim expands your vessel?
You could say more light. So Chabad has theirs, rest of how we go to Uman. Going to Uman, we try to visualize that tzaddik is there, just shining down at us, just watching us. And that should bring a person to great awe. Awe of Hashem, not of the tzaddik. We worship Hashem. That helps us, because you should know our mind sleeps, gets caught up with nonsense. I came home and asked my wife to tell me the news, what's going on at the store. So the first thing the news showed, the people crying because they lost the soccer game. I couldn't believe it. That wasn't important. The war in Israel, that wasn't important. People were crying because, I forgot which country, one of the countries lost the soccer game. Brazil was, I think it was Brazil. Imagine this. This is so important. See, when you don't think, this is very important. I guarantee if you speak to a television guy, he's not going to say, why are you not crying? He would say, if you would live in Brazil, you'd also cry. I would say, you're cuckoo. But he says that because it's so important. I don't know what it is. Because you know why? If you don't have a life, and you're not religious, so this becomes very important. They're very passionate about it. Then he says another very, very important thing. It's very difficult for me to be to connect everything, but I want to tell you another very profound thing he says in this Torah. The closer you are to tzaddikim, the more it helps a person to be shomer sabrit. I mean, that gift, because we live in such a challenging time. It's such a challenging for people, for men and women, but men the most. And he says, if you're close to the tzaddikim, if you're really close, the shine of the tzaddikim gives a person, yes, to be moral, not to be perverted, and not to be busy with all the schmutz, with all the perversion.
What do you think of the when some put forth that a lot of the troubles that we're experiencing in this generation is because there is a lack of men being shomer habrit?
Yeah, there's no question about that. Yes, I mean, we know from the Zohar it's very, very, men are not shomer habrit and they don't get married and they. And who knows what it is, causes enormous problems, Zohar says. And if you're not married, get married.
They don't express, when I say they, I mean the Jewish community at large, is not very articulate about how important Shomer HaBrit is. I went to Hebrew school, nobody...
That's true. In the non-Hasidic places, they don't discuss it. In the Hasidic schools, they do explain it. Yes, I grew up in a more Hasidic place. They do explain it. But it is the biggest challenge that you can imagine. Because it is every generation has the challenge, and today that's why a person has to use his common sense. And don't, I told someone, the Mishnah says, Al tar b'sicha min isha. Don't talk, don't sit and just, if it's not important, don't just, the Chazal said, if you start schmoozing with women, the end for no reason, not important, just socializing with the woman, and the end is, you're going to get into trouble. So I told a young guy, it means the internet too. He developed a friendship with the lady, but she lives in the Midwest, yeah. The soon it's going to be next door. The Chazal said, see, we have to admit to our weaknesses. And Nachman did say before Mashiach comes, this is going to be a big challenge. A very huge challenge. And this morning I had to give a hespit, so I said that if you notice in this week's Pasha, Pinchas, and end of Parshas Pinchas, it talks about all of the Korban Musaf. This week's Parshas, the reading of the Shabbos, we read, talks about Korban Musaf. Why is the Korban Musaf spoken now? It belongs in Vayikru. Vayikru discusses always all the sacrifices, the Korbanot. Why is it all of a sudden mentioned the Korban Musaf and Parshas Pinchas? And the reason for this is because the Medrash, the Gemara says, Shachris Mincha Marev, Avraham made Shachris, Yitzchak made Mincha, Yaakov made Marev. Who made Musav? You know what the Zohar says who made Musav? Yosef HaTzadik. Musav is an addition, Yosef is called an addition. Yosef made Musav. The Korban Musav is supposed to invite the Yosef's power into us to help us be Shomer HaBrit. Because I once explained why was Shevet Shimon the Shevet that this week's Pasha did not, the 24,000 people died from Shevet Shimon. Because Shimon was the one who initiated the selling of Yosef. Remember the Pasha, Shimon was the one. So his Shevet did not have the power of controlling your temptation. We need to have that special Yosef Tzadik's power to control temptation. I mean, the woman came and they started with young men and they fell. And if we would have the Shevet Shimon did not have that Shemira, because they were Poigim, it's called Poigim, means they blemish the Tzadik. Shimon was the one who initiated about killing Yosef and but what happened is that now, after Pinchas killed Zimri ben Soli Kozim Bastur, and there was a big pagam, and the tikkun for this pagam was the Korban Musaf, that to give us the strength, the Shabbos, the Yontav Musaf, that we should be strong to be Shomer HaBrit.
And a lot of the stuff that I've read, and I'm paraphrasing from Redlaw, seems to, that point that you were making before when we were talking about the humility, and I asked them, you said, okay, well, you have to do the other things too, like in America. But it seems that the literature from there seems to say that with this one particular thing, Shomer HaBrit, it's as if a man is able to achieve Shomer HaBrit, it's as if he's done, you know, he's reached a level beyond even.
Well, I don't know who's the writer that you really...
Yeah,
it doesn't work that way. We have Tariq mitzvahs, and every mitzvah has to be kept. But Reb Nachman says a very different, profound thing. You know, we do a lot of mistakes in life. We do. We do sin, we speak Lashon Hara sometimes, we cheated someone by mistake, sometimes deliberately, sometimes you didn't want. So all these things, you say, I'm sorry, but it needs a tikkun. So Reb Nachman says, when a person does tshuva and pregama brit, that tshuva could spread to kunim in all the places where you need a tikkun. That means we have to keep every mitzvah to its detail. But unfortunately, we need a tikkun, and we have to do tshuva. And Hashem gave us the power to do tshuva. He gave us Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And every day we could do tshuva. Every day you could say to Rabbi Shalom, I'm so sorry what I did.
In a way, that is.
But what Reb Nachman is explaining, when you do tshuva on the Pagam HaBrit, that tshuva spreads its light in all the places where you don't even know you sinned. A person did Chil Shabbos. He doesn't even know that this was a malacha. He didn't remember that doing this was wrong.
In a sense, that is the same.
No, but a person has to keep Shabbos. The tshuva on that.
He has to do the tshuva, but if he misses a Shabbos, having this tikkun is a good tikkun.
Right, right. So I want to just emphasize again over here, my main emphasis over here, take time for yourself and think through, what am I doing over here? The more you do this, the more you think this through, the more you let the shine of a tzaddik shine into you, the more you start thinking, what am I doing with my life? How can I be better? What can I change? And then realize the greatness of Hashem. As I said, most people don't walk around shivering. Wow! How great is Hashem? Most people are busy. Did they win the sports game, or the business is going, the stock market is up, or stock market is down? You know, I always tell people, no one fantasizes, is driving down the street, wow, lucky I am, I have such a great God. We fantasize, you know, on the not good things slip into our mind. I always tell people, depression comes uninvited. He's an uninvited guest. You ever notice? Your doors are locked, and all of a sudden, you look at yourself, how did he get into my house, depression? Happiness, you got to invite. Good things, you got to invite into your life. Our sexual fantasies or other fantasies just sneaks right into us. Without thinking, he sneaks in there. No one fantasizes, you know, I cannot wait to meditate about the greatness of Hashem. You have to get up and do it. That's the challenge. But I want to just go back to this. This is the koyach of tzaddikim, because the Tanya explains it also very well. I'm not thinking of Menachem says in other places, but he has a great land, the Tanya, where there's neshomas that are called chachma, the neshomas that are bina, the great tzaddikim, their neshomas come from the chachma and the bina. They could enlighten us and arouse us that we should also have wisdom. In our level, we should ask ourselves how great Hashem is, and we should ponder on that. And we should want to have a relation with Hashem. See, I always tell myself, if I miss a meal, boy, is my body going to let me know it. You know, you tell your body, you know, you missed lunch. Wait an hour, you can get home. No, he's a nudnik. I want now. Or if you don't sleep, what? Every night you have to sleep? Boy, you say, let's not go to sleep tonight. He's going to bother you all day, the body. You know what happens? Our neshama doesn't, we don't hear the neshama screaming. We forget a mincha, forget a marav. We don't hear him. Yeah. that we have to grab and scream to it. That's why this fight is such an incredible fight that we have. So I want to challenge you all. Take time for yourself. You know, we are really blessed, an unbelievable blessing. You know why? Because ask yourself how much time you waste on the computer and who knows what. Instead of that, take time and think about Hashem. Take time that you want to be close to Hashem. Meditate. And Rav Nachman's meditation was, talk to Hashem. Simple. And the more you meditate about Hashem, the more you talk Hashem, the sweeter your life is going to be. You're going to have a sweetness in your life. You're going to enjoy life. Most of us get up in the morning and don't want to get up in the morning. Most of us want to stay under the covers. 3 days, let's disappear. You should be able to get up and say, wow, I'm alive. Another day of life. See, we all live today. We're all sitting here, had a life. How we live today, it was up to you. To make it more passionate, to be more closer, it's really up to you. So I encourage you all, take 20 minutes of your time and meditate. Okay.